Welcome to the Royal Opera House. I'm Antonio Papano, Music Director of the Royal Opera. To find out more about our productions, visit roh.org.uk.
Good evening. Hello, I'm Robert Carson. In a way, the process is, in one respect, is similar each time, in that you need to decide what the opera is about or the context in which you want to tell the story on this particular occasion, so to speak. Initially, I suppose, and for me, it's very important to have quite a long conversation around the work and through the work before saying what you might do as a production, because I don't like the word décor or décoration, because it implies something you put from the outside. And what we're always trying to do is to try to arrive at the kernel of the work, what's inside the piece, and not to impose something from the outside. The directing team, we're here to tell the story and to tell the story through every means available to us, through the sets, through the costumes, through the lighting, and of course through the interaction of the characters and everything that's to hand. And in the case of Falstaff, of course, it's such an extraordinary work. It's so joyous, it's so rich, it's such an incredible achievement on Verdi's behalf to have written a work like this at any stage in his life, not to mention in his 80th year, at least the premiere was. It is one of those works that has to be described as a social comedy. There is a great sense of place and community, perhaps more than almost any other work. I mean, when you think of social comedy, you think of The Marriage of Figaro or Rosenkavalier or pieces where there is a great relationship between the characters and the society they live in. And so in this particular piece, you know, as Arrigo Boito, creating his libretto, combined so brilliantly the Falstaffs from the three Shakespeare plays in which he appears and has fashioned in a way his own story based on those plays. And it occurred to us that it was very the class struggle between the newly emerging wealthy middle class, even in Shakespeare's time this was the case, and the fading but glamorous and romantic aristocracy. This, of course, has nothing to do with the way things are in our own time, does it? We're, of course, of an essential conflict and an amusing one to explore. This is a co-production with La Scala, where it will open the Verdi year next January. You know, 2013 is the 200th anniversary of Verdi's birth, and Falstaff had its world premiere at La Scala, and so to celebrate Verdi at La Scala in Milan, they're doing, I think, 8 of his operas, and in Italian style, they're doing the last one first. I was thinking, it's really interesting, we're doing a very quintessentially English piece in England, but it's also a very, very Italian piece, and we're doing that in Italy. And we wanted to feel equally at home in both places. And we were talking about how much the Italians love English clothes, and English the way English clothes are made, and English fabrics, and many Italian men are dressed from head to foot in English clothing, but of course it doesn't come out at all the same way. It never looks English, but it's all English tweeds and handmade shoes and everything you can care to think of and everything, but it comes out looking completely Italian. But they love all that. It's funny, at a certain point you have this idea, but because you're always trying, you want the work to like it, you don't want to impose it, so at a certain point it starts to tell you, I know this could sound pretentious, but it's not meant to be, it's... Because, strange enough, when we do our work, we're thinking of you all the time. All the work that's done, theatre is a nonsense without an audience. It's pointless. It's almost grotesque. So everything one is doing is about sharing what happens on the stage with the audience. And for me, it's very important that the audience contribute to the process. It's not about putting something on which can just be, you know, watched or not watched. The audience have to actively take part in it by believing in it, and actually helping it to actually exist, because, of course, it's completely ephemeral. It doesn't really exist, a piece of theatre. And it's wonderful how things are recorded and filmed and all the advances that are made, but you sort of have to be there. It is really an act of, for me, a kind of an act of communion and of sharing between here and there. So every decision from all those months ago when we start to work on it to what we're doing now that we're on stage and looking at it, where we finally move from the lovely protective rehearsal room to your place, because, you know, today I was sitting in the auditorium for the first time, and of course I was just talking to my colleagues back there. When you see it on the stage, it's all a little bit different, and you need to adjust it. Sometimes it's just a physical thing where you have to move it because he's blocking her. But other times you actually see things a little bit differently. I mean, I sometimes say that, of course, I'm doing the directing, but it has nothing to do with me. I mean, what's on the stage isn't what I necessarily like. It's what I think is what we think is right for the piece. You're desperately aware of the trust that you've been given to do this thing. We're all working towards the goal of the ideal performance, which involves, of course, the performers and the orchestra and everyone backstage, including the audience, all contributing to make this thing maybe happen. Lift off.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about Royal Opera House Insights, visit roh.org.uk/insights.